Hello, my name is Vladimir Smirnov. I work as a system administrator at Booking.com. And, well, I'd like to tell you our way, how we manage Graphite, how we made it to scale, and our approach to scaling the system. So, first of all, what are the why you usually want to store metrics, and well, how Graphite is related to that? Well, I assume most of you know, but yeah. So, I think that most of the cases are like the biggest cases are some sort of capacity planning when you want to plan your budget for next quarter, or when you want to understand how your service grows or like what to expect in future. Then a lot of historical data might come actually into use. Another big story is troubleshooting and postmortems. So when something goes wrong, where you want to understand what's happened, then the more metrics you have, the easier it will be for you to find the cause of the problem and actually prevent it from happening in the future. Another really big story is to visualize some sort of business data, so kind of the information about how your company is going, how your services from the user's perspective is actually doing, and so on and so on. And there are actually a lot more than that. So initially in 2010, we decided to go for the Graphite because at that moment it was actually the best solution we were able to find. And why? What Graphite can do? So the official Graphite website says that it can kick ass, chew bubble gum, and makes it easy to store and draw your metrics. So basically, it's a set of software that provides you a time series storage, simple to use protocol, so text line protocol to send data, and some JSON API to actually query them. It's also modular, so it's flexible, and you can create whatever data flow actually suits your needs. And a few words about our current setup, what we actually have now. We have millions unique metrics, unique points per second in average in our Graphite system. This is like thousands of gigabits per second traffic. Just in ingestion flow, it's hundreds of storage servers, also hundreds of terabyte disk space used, actually, and well, even more free. We have several dozens of front-end servers, hundreds requests per second from people or from monitoring or from monitors around the office for the particular dashboards, which actually do thousands requests for individual metrics per second to just display those graphs. And actually, it's millions points per second fetched to actually display those kind of things. So the original open source stack, most probably if you'll try to come up with some more or less high available solution, will look something like this. So you'll have some load balancer for users, you'll have several frontends in different regions or data centers, you will have some frontend, some backend servers, which will actually store traffic, store data, and you'll have some ingestion flow with relay that will do load balancing. And Kotlin will copy the data for you, some aggregators, and some metric producers, so it can be servers, it can be hardware, it can be a lot of different things. But there are a lot of problems when you try to scale that, so there are some obvious ones. For example, the relay will be a single point of failure for you. At the especially in back in 2010, before the Graphite 1.0 release, it was really hard to scale this to handle really a lot of data. Also, this thing does not solve at all the problem of getting your data back in sync if something bad happens. It also got a really bad behavior before 1.0. If something is so, the faster the server will answer, the more chance that user will see its answer. So if you have two servers with the same data, with supposedly to have the same set of data, but one of them failed, you do two queries, and with really high probability, you'll have two different sets of data. So this is not actually really good, especially for monitoring purposes. And render time increases the more server you add, because it does sequential queries to each of the backend. So we decided to take an approach and to basically start fixing the problems when they came actually into our site. So first of all, we decided to make it more or less redundant and decided to, in terms of writing. And we replaced the relay with our own custom software. We also tried to place it as close as possible to metrics producers. So all our servers have a local relay. And we say to developers, like, OK, if you want to send data to Graphite, here is the local host. Here is the port it listens on. Here is the Unix socket, if you prefer it. And you just send it here. And after that, we take care of how it will be delivered. Yeah, so for several reasons, we decided to rewrite Carbon Relay, and we've written that in C. Well, main reasons were that when it scaled, we started to, so for our needs, CPU usage was really high. It was really hard to scale. The original one was written in Python. It was, for us, really hard to scale, so we decided to write it in C, multi-threaded, well, more or less properly written, and it was able to route more than 1 million points per second using only 2 CPU cores, and so now the networking was a bottleneck, not the CPU anymore. We also needed to have some custom load balancing algorithms, do some rewrites, do some matching based on regex and wrote the metrics based on that to different groups of servers. And that's why it also acts as a level 7 load balancer, so it understands the Graphite protocol, it can parse it, it can validate it, and then it can route the messages to the correct server, do the hashing and so on and so on. Well, at some point we decided that basically adding aggregators there is also easy, so it can do aggregations, and it acts as a buffer when the upstream is down. It can store the data in memory for some time, and if it's some short network interruption or maintenance, you won't lose any data. Another problem, the next problem we decided to solve was how people will see the data. If data is different on two backends, people will see different results. And, well, maintenance happens, problems happen, so at some point you have this kind of situation. So we decided to create a small daemon that we're listening on the front ends. It's acted like a Graphite, so for Graphite Web, the web interface, it acted like a cluster, like a storage that magically have all the metrics. And after that, it actually do the routing to the backends. It sends the query to fetch the data. And if it have two different sets of data, it will try to basically zip them together, so merge them and present user as full responses it's actually possible. We started doing queries in parallel. At some point, at first it was talking using the Graphite, so the pickle between our daemons, but as we decided to use Go for this particular set of daemons, we actually found out that, well, why we need to use pickle when there are a lot of stuff like protobuf or something like that around, and it migrated to protobuf eventually. Not so long ago, the reading part of the daemon was a separate thing. It was reading the data from disk, but for monitoring purposes, that was not actually enough. People who do monitoring want to see their data as fast as possible, and to do alerting also as fast as possible. So that's why we contributed our code to a project called Go Carbon, and now it also can use Go Carbon's internal cache and fetch the data. Basically send the data out as soon as they get to the backend. Another thing we tried to solve was the metric distribution problem. So we used Graphite's original consistent hashing algorithms because consistent hashing allows you to add servers and do not perform the complete redistribution of the matrix to balance them. So, but at some point when we got a lot of, well, even for some smaller amount of matrix, so for example, this graph is from the one of the last clusters that were using auto-consistent hashing algorithm, which was pretty small. So, but even there, you can see that load distribution is not even, and in worst cases, the difference can be up to 20%. So this is actually not really a good algorithm. We started finding, so looking out for some solutions. We found a nice white paper from Google about jump hashing. We implemented that, and that solved all the problems with the distribution. The difference is less than 1% most of the time, at least for our cases. Yeah, I won't talk in the details of the jump caching because it's much easier to read the white paper itself. It's pretty small and really nice reading. So the more people started sending more data, and this also became a problem to fetch those data. So their queries took longer and longer. We needed to scale the front ends more and more. We ended up to writing our own daemon that actually served users' requests. At first, it managed to serve only JSON requests. In the end, you can do the PNG and JSON and the 3G and basically everything that the graphite web can. And this is how dramatically reduced the response time for actual users. When we switched all of them to the new frontend we've written, it decreased the average response time to by like factor of 15 or something. So, this allowed users to create much more complex queries, get rid of some aggregated data, because before they used aggregators really a lot. But after that, it was much easier to do aggregations on the content side. Another thing that might be obvious, but we still decided to test and experiment is what kind of replication we can do and what benefits or drawbacks it will have. So we used, at first we used to have replication factor 2, so basically all the metrics cached twice and written to two different servers. But we decided to think if it may be worth to have to split the servers into two halves and do replication factor 1 on both of them. And as another experiment is just compute the hash for the second half in a different way. And we decided to do some thought experiment, written a small program, feed it all the set of our metrics and simulated failures, and decided to compute how much data we will lose. Well, obviously the replication factor 1 have the best results here, and replication factor 2 have best results, and replication factor 1 have the most results. But another thing is the actual probability of have some data lost, and with replication factor 2, if you lose two servers, you'll lose something. It will always be around at least 3% of metrics won't be available anymore. But with replication factor 1, probability of losing a portion of data is actually much lower. And for, we decided to, so at that point we used not very reliable hardware, so we decided to switch to replication factor 1, actually, because two failed nodes was quite a common case at that moment. So the more time passed, we decided the more was need for some sort of tagging, at least especially for monitoring purposes. So we now have a separate daemon that collects the tags from the all our set of servers and actually stores them in memory and allows you to query those data. Well, it has some limitations. Because we wanted to make it graphite compatible, because we do not want to rewrite all our stack at once. So because of that, there is no actually support for AND or not negative matching, only for AND. And there is no history, so you cannot query the data, display me a list of metrics that had this tag 2 days ago. It's only the current state, but for monitoring purposes, now more or less enough for our needs. And then we got a lot of other stories of, well, kind of failures and how we tried to scale or instrumenting this stuff. So, for example, this graph is graph of timeouts from the monitoring. The guys who do the monitoring, actually provides the user the interface, started complaining to us that, okay, you got some timeouts, we got some timeouts from your system, please do something with it. There was a long-standing effort to send lobbed metrics as one, and we decided that maybe it's actually time to switch everything to send metrics with globs with, as they are. And this actually decreased our amount of timeouts to almost zero, so only the very strange queries was still timing out, and this helped for monitoring. But after a month, we saw this kind of picture from the basically all the front ends, but it doesn't really matter. So everything was fine, but at some point the memory usage spiked from 32 gigabytes to almost 128, and sometimes it was even causing OM killer to come and kill everything. And we started trying to understand what happened, what changed, and so on and so on. Because a long time passed since we implemented the previous change. At first, we actually have not even considered that it can cause this kind of problems. So what we decided to do the proper logging. So we converted, made an effort and converted in like one day all our logs to a structured, basically JSON, with some kind of so with messages that looks like this. It's a stripped down message, so there are actually much more fields than that, but on each query it produced at least one of these messages. Because, well, if you have a JSON, it's easy to fit to Elasticsearch or whatever, parse it, and do the queries. Or you even can do use a JQ to query from the console or whatever. And with non-structured logs, it's sometimes really hard. And we saw that for this particular case, there is one user that, from time to time, when this person done some deployment, opens the graph, the dashboard, and this dashboard produces 16,000 requests. I have a refresh time of 1 minute, and the actual render takes 53 seconds. It fetches 1.4 billion points in one row. Then we do this for 4 copies of data because they like the server tries to merge them together. Each copy consumes 6 gigabytes of RAM just to be stored, and then it filters out to 9 kilobyte JSON. So, well, for this particular thing, we are still planning to do, have some actions planned, but the most valuable things we actually learned from this, that first of all, you need to do your logs right, so you need to do, you need to have a visibility on what's going on in your system. Also, you need to know how your users use your system, because this query exists for a very, very long time. But before we implemented globbing, it was not affecting frontends that dramatically, because they fetched data in metric by metric. Well, this query times out sometimes, but for user, well, basically they do not care in some cases, and in this particular case, because they use a lot of filtering and they just think that it's okay if the result is actually partial. Also, well, if you have a complex system, you need to educate your users, you need to tell them how the system actually works from some high-level perspective. Because if they don't know the statistics, if they do not know that this query can be actually very heavy, and if your dashboard takes really long time to load, then maybe something is wrong with the queries. So you need to always think about this and tell the users how to use it. And also, well, of course, you need to have some kind of quotas, so those queries even if people will do some crazy stuff, it won't affect your at least monitoring or some operations. And so, for example, in this case, we split it out the front ends for monitoring for people. So, another thing about the instrumentation of stuff and how people use the things is at some point, this might be a really common picture if you use a graphite because it relocates all the stuff in advance. So, and at some point, somebody started to write a lot of data and your 3D space actually decreases really dramatically and really fast. But the case is, there are two different kinds of situations. One, if people actually need this data, and another, if it's some software bug that produced a lot of broken metrics or whatever. So before that, like the traditional way how to investigate this is you do SSH to one of the backends that's affected, trying to do DU, look at the stuff, trying to remember what was right, what was wrong, and repeat it until you find actually the root cause. But this approach does not really scale. When you have when this happens, like once a month or once a quarter, it takes too much time for you to actually investigate this kind of stuff. So we decided to think what we can do to improve this. For indexing purposes, so to create fast indexes, we're already collecting a list of metrics and various parameters of that. For example, we already knew the size, so occupied the disk space, modification time, and so on and so on. So we decided to write a simple thing that can do this kind of, represent this data in basically flame graphs by disk space usage. So if you have a flame graph, so of normal state, then something changes, and you see like, okay, this thing is decreased, or this thing is increased, especially like we have some plans to actually implement the differential flame graph, so hold the difference between previous state in some kind of color. It makes it easy to spot what metrics or what directories cause the problem. It also allows you, if you store this kind of information, it also might allow you to do some complex stuff and get some statistics like how many data is actually used, how many new metrics you have coming, how old they are in terms of like, usually you can compare several states in time if you store everything in some kind of database. And well, for this kind of thing, we decided to use a ClickHouse, which is a column-based database from Yandex, because it was really easy to do that. And another thing we are now trying to do is to reuse the same thing to actually get application profiles or system profiles into this database and to allow us to compare the state of this is the normal state, this is how it was under the load testing, this is how it was when something was wrong. Because this kind of things makes it really easy to spot some kind of problems. And of course we have a lot of plans on what to do next with our graphite stack. We basically rewrote everything. We still want to improve the metadata-based search. We want it to be as powerful as the current modern time series databases, but also as fast for reading and writing as Whisper. I assume that it won't be possible, but at least we want to be as close as possible to that. We also want to find replacements for Whisper because historically we use only SSDs on our backends, and SSDs are still very expensive and very small compared to local disks, so spinning disks. So we want to find something that will consume less than 12 bytes per point. We also want to rethink aggregators because now it's the only point that does not have any high availability. So aggregator is, in graphite terms, they need to have the full state to produce actually points. So there is no replication, nothing at this moment. Also for some some users, graphite text protocol is now also a bottleneck. It consumes too much bandwidth to actually send data, especially we have some people who tend to produce for new metrics, they tend to send like the data for 5 years, including history, when they came up with some new metrics based on data they have. So to actually fix the problem with memory consumption in the front ends, we want to have to implement streaming protocol. So we are now thinking about streaming gRPC, but have not started even playing with this. Yeah, we want to implement differential flame graph and actually finish the part that will collect the stack traces from our infrastructure. Yeah, and well, everything we wrote about the graphite, it's all open source, so it's either a contribution to one of the open source projects or something we wrote from scratch. We're also now trying to organize this in one GitHub organization, but it's still like in a very early stage, because historically it was encouraged, so we were encouraged to use our personal GitHub repo for everything, but for a big project with a lot of moving parts, it's much easier to have a single organization that can base everything. Yeah, so any questions?